Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this life-changing message. Morning, everybody. Morning. It was funny because I thought, I'm really looking forward to church on Sunday. And then I thought, but I'm speaking, so it's sort of not because it's not going to be what God wants, but it is puts more pressure on, doesn't it? And I asked Charlotte to staple my notes, and she's done it back to front, so I'm gonna have to work with that as well. But I really do pray that you capture the heart of what Tony has just shared, because you know, we haven't really shared our journey that we're on at the moment, and I think people can see, especially Tony up here, and think our lives are hunky-dory. But we go through lots of challenging times, but we carry on, all for the glory of God. And he has really been working in us through this time. It's like there's been two parallel worlds, which we all actually experience, and that is life. And then the spirit... Oh, is my microphone too close to my face? Is it? Okay. I feel I can hear myself too loudly. And then there's the parallel, which is the supernatural. And then there's the in-between. Where does it cross over? How does it cross over? How do we live out our lives through the natural and the spiritual? And it's not been easy, but I really believe that it's not meant to be. Because when it is, we don't appreciate the journey. We don't press in on the journey. And we don't learn. Because we're creatures of comfort, aren't we? So we like the comfortable. And when it's comfortable, we relax. And when it's comfortable, we rely on ourselves. And so I really believe that our time of comfort is to come, and that's in eternity. But our time now is to recognize that we are to fully surrender our lives to Christ, that we are to engage in this spiritual war that we're all in, whether we see it or not, and to be equipped and empowered to really advance the kingdom while we're here on this earth. So, as Tony had said, for quite a long time, I've been reading this, and every time, Song of Songs is my book. Tony said when he preached away on Friday that one of the ladies there preached from Song of Songs. I said, that's my book. I don't know, I have to share it, but I'm very passionate about the Song of Songs because... I love relationship. That's, for me, that's what life is about. We don't live to work, we live for relationship. And so that's why Song of Songs really captures my heart, because it really is a story of love. And so I don't want the men to switch off at all, because I know some of this can sound very poetic and girly, but I really do believe that when a man finds his love in Christ, yeah. He can be the best man he could ever be to any woman, to his children in this earth, because when they find the love of the Father, it truly ingrains something in them that causes them to be supernatural in their character. So it was really lovely yesterday at Ladies' Breakfast. It really confirmed some of the things that I wanted to bring today, because we were just talking about life and how quite often we walk in here with our game face on. And everything's good, and we look at how spiritual everybody else is and secretly wonder why we can't feel as spiritual as they are, because their lives seem all good. But actually, as we said, if we did a show of hands around that table, we would all put our hand up to say we're facing challenges and it's not easy, and we're not as spiritual as we all may put across. Well, in Christ we are, but there's a battle that rages, and it's not easy. So... we're going to go to Song of Songs, chapter 4, verse 8 to 10. It says, come with me from Lebanon, my bride. Come with me from Lebanon. Descend from the crest of Amana, from the top of Senir, the summit of Hermon, from the lion's dens and the mountain haunts of leopards. You have stolen my heart, my bride. You have stolen my heart with one glance of your eyes. This book, which I've just read from, is really talking about the maiden's connection with the king and how they live life together. the maiden obviously representing us and the king representing Jesus. And I really believe that as you go on that journey of reading Song of Songs, you see her come from a place of quite, you know, when we first give our lives to the Lord, we can be a little bit, well, we are, we're babies, aren't we? We're immature in our walk with him. And the Lord meets us in that place and he allows us to want things from him because we need nurturing and we need his sustenance to come and just to build us up and to take us on that journey. But by the time you get to chapter 4, which is where I'm reading from, the king is starting to realize that the maiden is wanting to stay in the place of just love, in the bedroom, as it were, and not wanting to go with him on his journey. And so he gets up from that place and he leaves and he says, I'm not staying here. I want you to follow me into the kingdom. I want you to be in the kingdom with me, establishing my kingdom, helping me build my kingdom and creating my kingdom. And in the first few chapters, the bride doesn't understand that because all she wants is love. She wants to feel that love. It's all about from him to her. But the Lord says for true maturity to come, we have to eventually go to that place where you want to be with me in my circumstances, that it's not even in our relationships, you know, when we first meet somebody, it's immature, but it's precious. We all remember our first love. We all remember those first times we were together and the beginning of that journey. And it's something that we go back to. I often think of our first dates and our first time together. And I cherish them because the pursuit of each other was really, really precious. And they still help me even now to think, yeah, we pursued one another. But it has to go beyond that to a point where when things aren't so good and it's not lovey-dovey, I'm willing to meet my husband where he needs me, that he's willing to meet me where I need him, and we have to mature in our relationship. So the way we assess blessings, health, breakthroughs, change, progress, and success is not from the conclusion that life is a bed of roses, because if we do that, we will feel that we aren't in a place of blessing or breakthrough or health. We assess our lives through the spiritual eyes by connection with Jesus, by hearing his voice and gaining his direction, which impacts the circumstances we face and the way that we view things. We must trust God regardless of our feelings. And his call, as it says in this scripture, is to climb the mountains and be on the heights with him. But sometimes we don't want to climb those mountains because we are in the landscape of our lives. We're in the rocky areas. We're trying to just get to the base of the mountain, let alone climb up the mountain. But the Lord understands that, and he continues to beckon us. And sometimes we don't come, but he doesn't stop calling. And it's because he loves us. Sometimes we think, why can't we just be left alone? I don't want to have to progress and mature and things like that. I just want to stay where I am because it's too painful. But actually, the Lord loves us enough to keep saying, I want you to come higher. I want you to come and be with me in these heavenly places. So sometimes we might want to give up. Sometimes we'll want some breathing time on the side of the mountain while we gather more strength to climb to the top, to keep pushing through our challenges and to not lose sight of our destiny and calling on the earth because we're consumed by problems, and to make our heart's desire loving and living out our relationship with Jesus. And I truly believe this, that there is blessing in the breaking, that there is breakthrough in the breakdowns, that there's progress in the pushbacks, that there is truth in the midst of the lies, that there is friendship in the loneliest of valleys, and that there is joy in the pain. Because when we answer the call of the one who holds our world in his hands to come higher, we find our true satisfaction inside of him. In the previous chapters, the maiden pursues the praises of the king. But as I've said, you don't hear much of the king to the maiden. And it's because the maiden hadn't yet fully entered into everything that the king wanted for the maiden. I believe for those of us who are willing in our challenges to set foot to climb the mountains, to place his purposes before ours, despite our weakness and weariness, to say, Lord, here I am. I'm answering your call to come higher. The Lord is now leading us into everything he wants for us. And I believe that greater days truly are ahead. Amen.
Amen.
God is expanding our spiritual capacity. I believe the Lord's calling us higher. I believe that through every circumstance represented in this room, it is not for our destruction, it is the making of us. That as we face our challenges, we are actually answering that call to come higher. Because he grows and develops us in those challenges, and it's in the valleys that he truly meets us. I believe God is present and he is near, regardless of whether you feel he is very absent right now. And he is beckoning you, come with me, ready to take our spiritual capacity and our prayer life to higher places. Before now, the maiden was very emotionally driven, and it was all about her feelings because she had lots of yearnings inside of her. But now she's understanding that it's not so much what she requires of him than what he requires of her. And in that spiritual capacity, she spoke less and listened more. Thought I might get a cheer from the men on that one. But there is really something in speaking less and listening more all around us. I have, you know, even coming up here, you know, you tend to want to soften things by making some jokes and maybe putting yourself down a bit, or, you know, saying a few things just to lighten the atmosphere. But the Lord is saying, watch what comes out of your mouth. Because it holds power and it holds authority. And it's really hard sometimes because it means there's nothing to say. When you're in the midst of a heated moment with somebody and your emotions are raging and you want to just, you're thinking already how you're going to respond. And the Lord is saying, I don't want you to say anything. Amen. I just want you to be quiet and come away with me. And part of my journey has been just being in the silence, but not being silent alone, but being silent with Jesus and him meeting me. And before I lash out and make things worse, or before I come to my own conclusions, he meets me in that place and he restores what's been broken and he tells me how I should respond and he loves me. And so then I change the way I see things. I change the way I react to things. And it's been a really precious process of really going deep in that sense of knowing that I'm truly loved.
Amen.
When nobody else loves me, when I feel nobody else loves me, I'm loved. Yes. That when everybody else could abandon me, I'll never be abandoned. And so we are never, ever to feel that we're on our own, because Jesus, he's not around, just around us. He is within us and he knows us so well. In a world that teaches us to look for number one first, the Lord is really calling us to take our focus off of self, asking the Lord, what can we do for you? By knowing what God requires of us, we enter into the fullness of our existence. Rather than thinking about self, we have to look after ourselves and we have to love ourselves. But when we take care of God's business, he truly does take care of us. We weren't created to live a life of managing the issues. We were born to live a supernatural life that makes an eternal difference. And as a mother even, I see the Lord is drawing and calling me to stand strong. We can't afford to be weak in these times. We have to be resolute. We have to gather ourselves and place our footings on a strong foundation. We have to surrender to God so that we can stand for our husband, for our children, for our community, for one another as a community, with a resolute faith that will not be shaken while everything around us is shaken. Yeah. We have been anointed for such a time as this.
Yes.
More recently, I've been learning to walk in step with God. And we have been, with some of the things we've gone through, I've just felt overwhelmed. I've just stopped in my tracks and thought, I don't know how to progress here. It's too much. And I feel like it's like as it comes at me, it just envelops me. And I feel consumed by it. I feel overwhelmed by it. And the Lord keeps on bringing this scripture, Isaiah 54:2, back into my thoughts. And it's enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Before now, we used to quote that scripture in regards to church. We're still believing that we will get another building one day, that we will have a greater capacity. Amen. And sometimes your experience is how you view a scripture. So I was viewing this scripture in light of expansion, you know. And it has really helped me, and but more than that, it has expanded my capacity to quote this scripture in light of myself. And saying, Lord, with what is in front of me, my tent pegs fill, they're this wide, and what's coming at me is this wide. So I want you to take my tent pegs and make them this wide.
That's good.
So that I have capacity to take what it is that you want me to take on, not because it's about me, but because it's about you. I don't want to limit you in any way, so open my capacity and make me able to do what it is that you've called me to do.
Amen.
And I've been very determined. I don't know, sometimes I'm like, Lord, you know, I've had this determination, which I believe is from the Lord, placed within me recently to say, you know what, nothing is going to stop me. I'm going to keep moving forwards. No matter what the enemy might throw at us, no matter what obstacles come my way, I'm not stopping. I'm moving forwards. I am going to keep climbing that mountain because there's too much at stake. There's a war going on, and the enemy will use any strategy possible through our everyday things to stop, block, and wear us out so that we'll feel defeated, so that we'll surrender, or we'll be so fast asleep that we're not even aware of the battle. So one of the practical elements that I felt God saying to me is to deal with my emotions. Because it was about 6 years ago, the Lord said, I want you to deal with your emotions. And I thought, I'm not an emotional person. And then something would happen and I'd be like, oh, you know, why is that happening? Or I'd feel really anxious and overwhelmed. And all these emotions would bubble up inside of me. And then I'd see the Lord sort of lovingly saying, see, do you see those emotions that are causing you to maybe be slightly blind to what I'm trying to show you or stopping you from being led into what I have for you? So I want you to deal with your emotions. And so I started to just look up anger or anxiety or frustration. And it is amazing how the word is so practical in showing us why these things can hinder us, but also help us at the right time and how we can use those emotions to really help us see clearly ahead of us. But emotions can lead us astray. If we make decisions based on emotion, we will most likely turn back from climbing this mountain that the Lord is calling us up, because it will lead us to do selfish things. The dictionary says that an emotion is a strong feeling deriving from our circumstances, from our mood, from relationships with others. And I think we are in a very emotional world, aren't we? There is so much emotion out there that can cause us to rise up against one another, to be ready to be at war with one another. Society models to us to feel loved that we should have a good circle of friends, that we need that husband, we need that wife, that boyfriend, that girlfriend, that good job. And then here I put blah, 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 blah. Because there is so much that the world tells us that we need to have to truly be happy. But before we should desire anything, like the maiden, we should desire him. We should pursue him.
Amen.
We should find him, and we should surrender our lives to him. We've told our children that don't go on a pursuit of of a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a husband, and wife before you have fully pursued Jesus.
Amen.
Because if you don't find him first, your relationships will not enter into the fullness of what God wants for you. So we have always said to them, it's Jesus first. It's not a person first. So once we're fulfilled in him, whatever comes after is for his glory, because it flows from spiritual strength and stability. We find him and our spiritual capacity enlarges. So as I said before, the maiden had talked less and listened more. And I really believe that God wants us to talk less in our prayer life and listen more to him as well, because he does have a lot to say. And what he says is so significant that it really is worth listening to. When we take time to listen to God more than we speak, we give ourselves space to let God come into our circumstance, which gives us space to come higher. Listening more than speaking gives us clarity and direction over a blurred reaction. It helps us hear God's voice instead of our own. Listening more than speaking demonstrates that we trust God, and it invites him to move closer to us, as the scripture says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So how often are you listening to the Lord instead of your own voice, instead of your emotions, instead of your circumstance? Because Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. While reflecting on that passage, Oswald Chambers wrote that these words mean the breaking and the collapse of my independence brought about by my own hands, and surrendering of my life to the supremacy of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We must be willing to let go and be willing to trust God like never before. Yes. And we do this by surrendering our lives and giving ourselves fully over to the Holy Spirit, who breathes that hope and fullness of life. I saw this statement written somewhere and it really, really impacted me greatly. And it said, your flesh does not care where you spend eternity because it's not going with you.
Wow.
And I just think that that is something that we all need to hold on to. Our flesh will lead us straight to hell, if I'm honest, because it's not going with us. And that is why we must live in the Spirit. That is why when circumstances seem to be absolutely breaking us down, we do not give up, because we are living for eternity. This flesh wants to take us to the pit, and we have to do everything we can in Christ to come against this flesh and to consciously choose to live in the Spirit. So going back to the main scripture, I'll read it again. It says, come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look to the top of Amana, to the top of Shinir and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. I tried to paraphrase this, not the actual verse itself, but just what that makes. I enjoy art and I enjoy imagining these pictures, and I have actually started painting a picture in light of this scripture, but I didn't get it finished before today, so I didn't I couldn't show it. But I thought it's like the king was saying, look, we're on the mountaintops where you can see the lions and the leopards that seek to devour you. But look from here at the landscape of your life and see that together we're far above it all.
Amen. Amen.
We're over all of it, seeing the challenges, yet saying, I'm looking from the place of being with my King in the heavenlies. Therefore, I can go back down that mountain in victory. I saw this, this was just on someone's wall, and I just thought it fitted so nicely. And it said, as Dr. C stood in a high peak of the Rocky Mountains, watching a storm raging below him, an eagle came up through the clouds and soared away towards the sun, and the water upon him glistened in the sunlight like diamonds. Had it not been for the storm, he might have remained in the valley. The sorrows of life can cause us to rise towards God. So the king was demanding two things of the maiden. One, that she would get up out of her circumstances, and two, that she would go along with him in his circumstances. So if you think about the circumstances that you are facing, you need to know that the Lord loves you.
Yes.
He cares about you.
Thank you, Lord.
And I truly believe that he's moving on your behalf. He sees everything. And that's why you don't need to cling onto it for dear life and let it consume you. Because he doesn't want us to be consumed by our circumstances. He wants us to be fully given to his, because there is a kingdom to advance for eternal purposes.
Amen.
He is calling us higher. The mountains mentioned in this scripture are not literal, but they do represent some very significant principles. The king is calling her away from what she knew at the bottom of the valley, away from the past and into something new. And I really believe that this is a new season for us as individuals, us as families, and for us as a church. I can see it. Something is bubbling up. The Lord is taking us into new territory.
Yes, he is.
And the mountainous nature of what is being described, I'm sure that we can all relate to, even in our relationship with Jesus. It feels like it has its rocky areas. Sometimes we don't feel like God is near. Sometimes we're not hearing him in our prayer time. Sometimes we don't even want to pray. But true love is only found when both the valleys and the mountaintops are experienced. So we shouldn't despise those lonely moments, but use them to pursue Jesus into a deeper intimacy with him. In those lonely moments, we can feel compelled to go on a search for something or someone to fill the gap. But I truly believe that our challenges are an opportunity to be authentically satisfied, and that satisfaction can only come from Jesus. So the scripture says, descend from the crest of Amana. We can't be on the mountaintop all the time because that's not realistic, but we are equipped up the mountain to come down the mountain knowing that the king and his kingdom is with us. So what is the mountain Amana? Well, Amana is said to come from the word amen. And it's truth, firm, loyal, and constant. And as you know, truth is heavily under attack at the moment. But it's the truth that holds us safe and secure.
Amen.
Truth is found in Jesus and his word. And it is the truth that we lay hold of when we need direction into wholeness and health. John 8:32 says, you will know the truth, and it's the truth that will set you free. So God is calling us to climb that mountain of truth, to seek it out daily in him and his word. So the king is saying to all of us this morning, just come away from the rough places and come to my palace. The Lord is calling each one of us to this mountain, and it's our responsibility to also teach our children to climb this mountain for themselves too. Because as truth is under attack, once we lose truth, we lose the compass in our life.
That's right.
The best way we can support our children is to bring them up in the truth of God's word.
Amen.
But we need to be living in the truth of God's word for ourselves. So Mountain Shanir actually means armor, a coat of mail, or a light. So this mountain, I was reading, it has two peaks. So Shanir was one peak, and the other peak I will tell you about in a minute. I can't remember. But it was in Palestine, and there were actually lions and cheetahs that used to live on these peaks, and it was quite a dangerous place to go because they were wild. They would attack you if they saw you. And as we all know, we battle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers in high places. We're a spiritual people before we are just a natural people.
That's right.
We must engage in our spiritual calling daily, because if we try off our own efforts, the lions and the leopards are circling to devour us. The second mountain to climb, Mount Shanir, is the mountain of spiritual preparedness. And the path to the top is set out in that scripture that we all know so well in Ephesians 6, 11 to 18. So it says, put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and keep on praying for all the Lord's people.
Amen.
So to be really serious about following the Lord, we need to live this passage out daily and use the weapons of our warfare. But we are not to be an intimidated or defeated people, because the Lord will cause the enemies that rise up against you to be defeated before you. In Deuteronomy 29:7, it says, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way, but they will flee before you in seven ways.
That's right.
Amen. We are a powerful people, and we have been equipped with heavenly armor to overcome every single challenge that we might face. On the mountain, we're elevated above our circumstances so that we can see spiritually, clearly, what is going on in the heavenlies and on earth. It is the heights with him that we are not only equipped, but trained on how to use as we climb that mountain to be with Jesus. So the last mountain is Mount Hermon. That was the other peak that I was trying to remember. And Hermon means being devoted, sanctified, and destruction. And that mountain represents the victory of the cross and how Jesus has destroyed every single work of the enemy. This mountain is where we live in full victory by walking so closely to Jesus and being in complete devotion to him. As we know from the accounts that we read of the cross, the enemy was always near. But Jesus still overcame, and he brought us our victory over sin and death. Jesus gave up his life so that we could live for him. So we must enter each day with the Lord and not independent of him, to walk in the fullness of everything that he has for us. Life isn't always bright and beautiful, but in the good times and in the bad times, God calls us to the mountaintop, into the heavenly heights. The mountaintop is to be the place we live and move from, even with the lions and the leopards present. We are to be strong and courageous, knowing that we have these high places. So our mountaintops are lived out in the heights of godly truth. Our mountaintop is to equip us with protective armor. And our mountaintop is rejoicing and living out the victory over every power of destruction. You're being beckoned this morning. Come up to the heights of the heavenlies and live out your life in the fullness of heavenly devotion and surrender to your King. You might be feeling the enemy's breath breathing down your neck, but you can stand firm, knowing that we overcome in spite of the lions and the leopards. We climb the mountains to the heavenlies, where we can gain clarity, encountering God and being empowered by him, who enables us to fight and win our battles. The enemy is defeated, and victory is ours. But will you take your position? If you stay down the mountain, where the enemy seeks to consume us, we will have no clear picture of what's going on and will feel defeated and weak. As you look down from the heavenly point, you will see clearly from the heights of God's promise. And then in conclusion, the last verse says, "You have stolen my heart, my sister, my bride. You have stolen my heart with one glance of your eyes." This is the reason why the maiden could make it up that mountain, because she knew that not only had she ravished the Lord's heart, had the Lord ravished her heart, but she had ravished the Lord's heart. That really struck a chord with me, because quite often we look at how we love God and what we can do for him and what he requires of us, which is everything we've been talking about. But you have ravished the Lord's heart. If you just meditate on that as much as you can, that he looks at you and his heart bursts with love for you as an individual. He loves you so much. And that's what enabled the weak maiden, who in most circumstances would have looked at the mountain and said, "It's just too hard," seeing the lions and the leopards striding in wait for her. That's why she could attempt to respond to the call to come higher, because the king loved her. For the first time, her desires for him are identified with his desires for her. No need to speak, but a heart-to-heart, spirit-to-spirit connection. Does your heart carry the heart of the Lord wherever you go? Is he on your mind? Are you walking in the Spirit? So often, as I've said, we emphasize our love for him. And on the front of it, that doesn't look too bad, does it? But if we take this approach, which is unbalanced, we can end up in a loveless relationship. We give and we give. We try to please. We try to behave right. We try to abide by the rules. And then we try a little harder because it still didn't feel enough. And we don't feel his presence. But the Lord is speaking this affirmation over you this morning. Jesus. You have ravished my heart Jesus. With one look of your eyes. Jesus. It's a two-way relationship, and you need to know that the Lord loves you this morning. The maiden had moved from an immature relationship to a mature relationship. In the previous chapters of the Song of Songs, she had sought the king, wanted to stay with him in the bedroom chamber because she desired him and was mainly centered on her need of him and not his need of her. As he called her to come away with him into his circumstances and he left that bedroom chamber, she chased him through the streets, not understanding where he was going or what he was doing. Once she had come into a full revelation of the cross and all that was accomplished on the cross, she started to care about what the king cared about. She nurtured the heart of her king and not only her own heart.
Thank you, Lord.
She went where he was. She rose up out of her circumstance to be with him in his circumstance. And this meant so much to the king that she had ravished his heart with one look of her eyes. The Lord's satisfaction is not only when you're close to him, but when he can entrust you enough to come close to you. Our dwelling place is in the love of God. Mm. So in conclusion, I just wanted to for us to have a moment just to be with Jesus. So for those of us here facing challenges and want to respond to the call to come higher, being willing to trust God with your lions, leopards and valleys so that you can climb to the mountaintop to connect with him, we're just going to have a moment of quiet where you can accept the invitation to come up to the heavenlies. Can we have some quiet music ready as well? And also if you, I'm very aware that sometimes we always make out like everything's got to be so bad so we can fit the Lord in there somewhere. And for some, we're good. You know, life is going okay at the moment. But you might be living your life independently from Jesus and you don't have that sense of being fulfilled. And you want to make that climb to the mountaintop too, to put Jesus in his rightful place. Then I just want to invite you to sit quietly and allow the Lord to love you and encounter you. As I said earlier, your flesh does not care where you spend eternity because it's not going with you. So today, let's choose to live life in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, dying to flesh, laying our burdens down, and living for Christ so that we may live life for eternity now. So we're just going to have a minute of just quiet music and just present yourself to the Lord and ask him to help you come higher.